1 Corinthians chapter 14 is where I have my Bible marked this morning. I invite you to open up your Bibles there as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, a little verse there I want to read with you once again as a service, a little jumping off point for my lesson here today. And as you're settling back in and finding that particular passage, let me take this opportunity to welcome all those who are out with us here this Lord's Day. This is the day the Lord has made. We should be glad and rejoice in it. Psalm 118, verse 24. And we're very appreciative of the opportunity to be here gathered together. And we appreciate your interest in spiritual things. It has you be out with us here today. We want to remind ourselves and remind you that all we're interested in is what this sacred volume right here has to say, the Bible. We believe that it is, as it reports to be, the words of God. The Hebrew writer one time said in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, that God hath spoken. That God has weighed in on the affairs of men and told us exactly what his will is. Matter of fact, one time Jesus said in John 12 and verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, hath that which judgeth him. For the words that I have spoken will judge you in the last day. We had read a few moments ago Hebrews 9 verse 27. It's the point of man once to die, and after that the judgment. That's the reason why we're interested in only hearing the words of God, because one day I will be judged by that standard. By how it is that I have comported my life and submitted my will to the will of God. Paul one time said, be not unwise, but understand the will of the Lord. Ephesians 5 in verse 17. So once again, I'm going to provide you book, chapter, and verse from the Bible, the Word of God, for everything that I have to say here today. So your faith, your belief system does not have to stand in the wisdom or teaching or education of some man like Brian Anderson, but can stand in the power of God, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2 and in verse 5. If you will listen with me or read along with me, 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 25, where there Paul says, the secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so he will fall on his face and worship God, declaring that God is certainly among you. The scriptures speak a great deal about God dwelling among us. In Ephesians 4 and verse 6, one God, one Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. Again, in Ephesians 2 and verse 22, in him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. You can't read those passages without understanding God is among us. In John 14 and verse 23, Jesus said, if a man love me, he will keep my sayings. And my Father will love him, and he will come and make our abode with him. Paul said, this man will come in amongst those at Corinth and say, surely God is among you. Well, I got to thinking about that idea. What if someone came into our assembly here at the Clarksville Church of Christ? Would they say, God is surely among these people? I've told many a person who've asked me about helping someone find the Lord on one of the main things they need to do. You know what that is? I tell them they need to bring them around God's people. Makes sense, don't it? You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Because you see, ladies and gentlemen, truly God's people who are preaching and teaching his word, God is among them. And I want people to be around the Lord, and the Lord should be among us. How is it that it could be said of us that God is among us? Would that be of interest to you? I sure hope so, because I'm going to spend the next 22 minutes and about 38 seconds talking about that very idea of what it is that you and I need to have in our life so it could be said of us, surely God is among you. The first thing I want to point your attention to is this, an interest and respect of God's word. If we're going to be thought of as a people of God, we're going to need to be steeped in the words of God. Doesn't that make sense? Many a group of religious individuals today are gathering themselves together, and they never get around to talking about God's word. I remember going to an unfaithful Church of Christ one time, and the preacher spent all his time reading and quoting from some book written by a man. No wonder they were unfaithful. In John 8 and verse 47, Jesus said, he that is of God, now watch it, heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. If anybody is ever going to come here to this place and have any inkling that God is among us, they must hear God's words. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, I thank God for you, Thessalonians, without ceasing. For when you received the words of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the words of men, but as they are in truth, the words of God. You see, when they came together, the Apostle Paul preached to them the words of God. They understood the importance of it. When Jesus one time asked the apostles, will you leave me? Peter said, where are we going to go? Thou hast the words of everlasting life. Unfortunately, far too many people are ashamed of what God has said. Are we ashamed of God's words? Jesus one time said in Mark 8 and verse 38, the Son of Man shall come, and whosoever shall be ashamed of him and his words in this generation, so shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes with his holy angels. Desire the sincere milk of the word, that you might grow thereby, Peter said. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul, James 1:21. If we're going to be the people of God, we are going to demand book, chapter, and verse, preach. Our visitors, when they come here, need to see that we are like those Bereans of old, and that they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they search the scriptures daily to see whether these things are so. Ladies and gentlemen, if anyone is ever going to come here and think that God is among us, they are going to see an interest and respect of the Word of God. Here's the application. We come to Bible study. We participate. We have our lessons done. We pay attention to the preaching. We turn in our Bibles. We write down notes so that when folks leave this place, they can say, certainly, God is among you. But also, if someone is going to leave this place saying that God is among us, I'll tell you something else we're going to do. And that is they're going to see that we are worshiping in spirit and in truth. Many a worship service in the religions of men are nothing more than a huge mass of confusion. It's entertainment. It is an emotional jazzercise or both. I saw a guy preaching one time, and he got to singing, and I kid you not, he did a Michael Jackson moonwalk. Ladies and gentlemen were screaming, people were hollering. Many a religious service is nothing more than a gospel music variety show. Jesus said, whosoever shall worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14 and 40, let all things be done decently and in order. Decent, respectful, orderly worship is that which feeds a hungry soul, and it will impress your friends that you invite. We will worship in truth. Jesus said, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. We will worship God the way God has stipulated in his word that he wishes to be worshiped. That's the reason why we had a giving a few moments ago in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2, because we are commanded to do so. The reason why I am preaching right now in this assembly is because we see example of that being done in Acts 20 and verse 7. The reason why we lead prayers in our assembly is because Paul demanded such in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 8. The reason why we came together and we took of the Lord's Supper is because Paul once again taught that in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. Whosoever is going to worship God are going to worship him in spirit and in truth. The reason why we sing, Paul said in Ephesians 5 in verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. These acts of worship are simple but yet powerful. We do them in spirit, that is the inward man that speaks of an attitude, emotion, and effort according to the truth, that is, the commandments of God. I've been to worship services whether I've wondered if the people were half asleep or on some prescription downer. There is nothing more edifying and satisfying than New Testament worship as God is instructed in spirit and in truth. And if we'll do that, folks will come here and visit and they will leave saying, certainly, God is among you. But also, how it is that we treat other people will be an indication. In Hebrews 13 and verse 2, the Hebrew writer there says, be careful to entertain strangers, for those have entertained angels unaware. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 7, Peter there says, honor all men. It was Jesus who exhorted, as you would have others to treat you, you treat
them.
How do you want to be treated? How about words like kindly? How about things like welcomed? How about telling them where everything is and what's going on? Now, don't smother them, but also don't prejudge them. You ever done that? Someone walked into your worship service and they looked at them and you thought, what do they want? James said one time something about that in James chapter 2 when he says, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. For if there come among you in your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and then also comes in a poor man in vile raiment, and you have respect to him that weareth the goodly clothing, and say to him, sit thou in this good place, but you say to the poor man, stand over there, or sit here under my footstool, are you not partial in yourselves and become judge of evil thoughts? Do we do that? If someone looks right, we'll talk with them, but if they don't fit some notion of ours, as far as what they might look like, we don't. I mean, when we have visitors, they need to know that we are interested in them. They are souls made in the image of God. My Savior shed his blood for them. Now we need to treat them that way. And if you'll do that, folks will leave here saying, surely God is among you. But also, how it is we treat one another. Jesus one time said in John 13:34, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, even so should ye. This is why the world will know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. Paul again in Ephesians 4:32 said, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Forbear one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against another, even as Christ, or God, for Christ's sake have forgiven you, even so do you. Colossians 3 and verse 13. Paul said in Galatians 5:15, but beware, if you bite and devour one another, that you be not consumed one of another. People can tell in short order whether a church loves one another or not. I preached in a gospel meeting one time. Matter of fact, I've preached in this area more than one time. That by the time the last amen was said, the last person filed by me to leave no more than 5 minutes afterwards. And I'm not exaggerating. One would question in regards to whether God is among them. They're not even among one another. I've told this story before. My best friend Todd Rogers' wife, who heard all kinds of gospel sermons from me and all kinds of Bible discussions between me and him as she was steeped in the Catholic religion, even after they were married, she obeyed the gospel. And the answer was, when I asked what in the world had happened, she said she got to be around God's people and the way they treated her and the way they treated one another, she said, this must be the people of God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you write that down in book, whatever book you write things down in. If we will treat one another the way the Lord would have us treat one another, people will leave this place saying, surely God is among them. But also, how our families behave. I read in Ephesians 5 and verse 22 that we are to be servants one of another. As Christ is head over the church, how he gave himself for it, he's the Savior of the body, so it is that men should love and offer themselves for the wife. Honor, giving honor and preference to the wife. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. Paul told the women in Titus 2 and verse 4 that they had loved their husbands, that they should love their children. The people of the world are impressed by how well our families are ordered. Wives being respectful and loving and submission to their husbands. Husbands honoring and loving their lives, being kind one to another. Children, Ephesians 6 and verse 1, are being obedient to their parents. How well do our families behave? How well do our young people behave? Are they still? Are they paying attention? Taking notes? Are they sleeping? Getting up, going to the bathroom? How is husbands and wives treating one another? If our families will order themselves, behave themselves as God would have them behave, folks will walk out of this place saying, surely God is among you. And finally, I want you to see this. When we obey God's commands. Jesus, we began this sermon by saying in John 14 and 23, Jesus said, if a man love me, he will keep my sayings, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode with him. Now I praise you, Paul said, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances that I have delivered unto you. Again in Acts 16 and verse 4, and they went through all the cities and delivered them decrees to be kept. What I want you to appreciate here this morning is God did not speak commandments just simply to write a book. He has written us ordinances and decrees and commandments that you and I should keep. In Matthew 28 and 19, go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe, be obedient to all things what I have commanded you. In John 14 and 15, Jesus said, if a man loves me, he will keep my sayings. Nobody wants to be around a hypocritical church, and it doesn't take too long to figure out who they are. What kind of reputation do we have here in the Clarksville area? In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, Paul exhorting the young man Timothy says, be thou an example of the believers. And that word example there is very interesting. It literally means a sample out. Sample out. You take a big old kettle of stew, brown beans or banana pudding. I wonder what that tastes like. What do? You take a spoon and you take a sample out of it, don't you? And you take a bite and now you know what it tastes like. All of it? Oh, yeah. You know what it all tastes like. So it is, ladies and gentlemen, with the church. What if those folks at work knew you were a member here? What would they think of this church? Be thou an example of the believers. Why is it that we're so ashamed of our religion? Why are we so ashamed of our God? I can recall being up in Fishers, Indiana. That's on the north side of Indianapolis one time, and I was a little bit lost, but I needed some gasoline, and there was a Flying J or a Pilot over here to my right, and I made my way over in traffic to get there, and I got in there, and I started to pump my gas, and there was a taxi car right there in the middle of the lot. And I thought, what in the world? The taxi doing sitting there in the middle of the lot, and I just happened to just kind of walk around, and there was a Muslim with his carpet laid out there on the ground saying his prayers right out there in the open. And I thought at times that I've been in a company of Christians when everyone was embarrassed to say the word Jesus too loudly. Why are we ashamed of our God? Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to understand when people come here and they see you, not just here but in other places, obedient to the commands of God, they will say, certainly, God is among you. Well, as you think about that eye here today, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to consider that here this morning. That if we have an interest and respect for God's word, if we will worship God in spirit and in truth, if we will treat our visitors the way the Lord would have us treat them, if people could come here and see us treating one another like we should, if they see our families behaving like families ought to, and if they see us being obedient to the commandments of God, I want you to appreciate here this morning that folks will leave out of our assemblies and they will say, surely God is among them. And if we've learned these lessons here this morning, I think our time will have been spent very profitably. You've listened well today, and I appreciate that very much. We're about to stand and sing a song of invitation to encourage you here today. Maybe there's one in our audience who's not been obedient to the words of God, and he said, I want you to go into the world and preach this good news. He that believes it and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned. If you've not done that, we encourage you with all the encouragement that we can do. And we sing this song to encourage you to be obedient to the words of Jesus today. Maybe you've done that. You need a prayer to the congregation. John said in 1 John 1 and verse 9, if you will confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you
from all unrighteousness. We extend the Lord's invitation to you here this morning, and we sing this song to encourage you. So we sub to me anyway. Come forward now as we stand and sing.
The great physician now is dear, the sympathizing Jesus. He speaks the truth.